Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Victory for a Christian adoption agency in the state of New York. Hi, I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom with Holly Mead. Holly, this is a great decision. A federal judge in New York ruled that a New York-based Christian adoption agency cannot be forced to close due to its policy of only placing children with married heterosexual couples. It is a federal court decision. Judge Agostino issued the preliminary injunction against the New York Office of Children and Family Services enforcement of its discriminatory policy. The judge stated that the state's behavior, quote, demonstrates some animosity towards particular religious beliefs, close quote, against the adoption agency, which is called New Hope Family Services. This is a great decision.
Yeah, you know, for more than 50 years, New Hope Family Services has placed children in homes with a married mother and a married father together. And it's a Christian nonprofit. They don't receive any public funding, but they don't place children with same-sex couples and unmarried opposite-sex couples, obviously, because they are a Christian faith-based organization. And we're looking at currently 25,000 children in the foster care system in New York alone. So hopefully this judge sees the reality of what that means to these children. They're the ones who ultimately pay the price when you, put these mandates on these Christian adoption agencies like this one.
Yeah, and currently there are more than 25,000 children in foster care systems throughout the state of New York alone. 25,000 children. These are people that need a temporary or even a permanent family. They've already gone through a trauma. That's how they're in the foster care system. Something's happened at home. Something occurred that caused them to go into foster care. Now, some of these may be temporary, and the point of the programs obviously are trying to reunite the families back together. But some of those are irreconcilable, and the children ultimately lose their parents. And they could lose them for a wide variety of situations. They could have lost them because of divorce. They could have lost them because of drug prostitution that the parents got involved, or the parent got involved in one of those problems. Could have been that the parent died. Could have been that the parents are in prison. Whatever it is, they've already gone through a trauma.
Right.
Now, in this situation, they need to be put in a loving home that gives them a model. You know, I was working with an inner city program a number of years ago in Florida, and this inner city Christian ministry, it was called the Dream Center. It was modeled after the Dream Center out west, and they had it here in Florida, and it's here in a minority neighborhood. I was talking to the founders of this local Dream Center in Central Florida, and they said that some of the children would come and they would say, why is this woman always with you? Why is this woman always with you? Well, he said, she's my wife. We're married. You know, they were completely unfamiliar with that concept.
Wow.
Because they lived in a home with a single mom who was on welfare, and they didn't know who dad was. And it was different men that would come and go from the house. So when they would see this husband and wife and they would interact and they're always together, that was foreign. Why is she always here? Because we don't ever see that. We're growing up. They don't have a model. So these kids, in certain situations, they don't have a model. Now the home is either further broken and they're in the foster care system. And they either need to be temporarily placed in a home where there is a good, loving model of a mom and dad, male and female, husband and wife, or they need to be placed in a permanent place for adoption where that is ultimately going to give them the best opportunity. So these Christian ministries are in a very strategic, significant ministry to place children in the best possible environment. And that best possible environment is in a home with a loving mother and father. And now they're told in New York, because of this policy that came in, that, well, you've got to place these kids into same-sex households. Or, you know, we're not just talking about two men, two women. We're talking about people who have gone through surgical intervention and hormones and all kinds of varieties of things. And that's not their mission. That is very contrary. It would be gut-wrenching for them. And they say, you know, you have to do it. Otherwise, you're going to close down the whole mission. So they're stuck with this question. Do we compromise our mission in order to save some, protect some, but yet violate our core beliefs on others, knowingly placing children in a home that is contrary to our mission and that's not in their best interest?
Right. So they're standing strong on their faith and all their principles. And that's why 2 years ago they filed suit against these state officials and said, no, we will not do that. And of course, this case is still ongoing.
Yeah, still ongoing, because this is just a preliminary injunction. In the fall of 2018, the New York Office of Children and Family Services wrote a favorable review of New Hope in a letter that stated the organization had a number of strengths in providing adoption services. But then the agency issued an ultimatum to New Hope that it must violate its religious beliefs or close its adoption services for its policy prioritizing the placement of children it serves in homes with a married mother and father. So in December of 2018, New Hope filed a federal lawsuit. The court dismissed it in May of 2019. On November 4, the U.S. Supreme Court will actually hear this kind of a case at the United States Supreme Court.
Right, regarding a Catholic foster care agency out of Philadelphia that has been fighting the same kind of mandates. So we just pray, you know, we get a good ruling here so this can shut down these cases with these faith-based organizations that are trying to protect their children.
All the more reason to have Judge Amy Coney Barrett on the United States Supreme Court, because she can be there for that November 4 oral argument. If she's not there, the likelihood is that that case would split 4-4.
Right, and we'd still be dealing with these issues.
And the lower court went the wrong way.
Right.
So if it splits 4-4, there's no resolution. We need the fifth justice on there to break that 4-4 tie. That's why it's important. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/Barrett, to continue to pray for this case that we have, and also just lc.org in general, because there we have a lot of other information there for you to review and pray about our cases. But this case, November 4, is a big one before the United States Supreme Court, called Fulton versus City of Philadelphia. And it's on this very issue that just had a favorable ruling in New York.
Right, and just back it up a little further, so important why voting is so important, because the President Trump acknowledges that appointing justices on the Supreme Court is one of the most important jobs a president can have. And here's an example of it.
This is an example. I mean, because when you vote, I mean, how did these laws get into effect?
Mm-hmm.
They got into effect because of elected officials that ultimately put these into position. And then, of course, judges are very important, because it is the president that nominates all these federal judges, Supreme Court, federal courts of appeal, and even the lower federal district courts. Voting is critically important. If you go back to 2016, there was record turnout by evangelicals and Catholics in the 2016 election. Record turnout.
But there's still 40 million Christians that did not vote.
40 million. In a record turnout year for Christians to vote.
That is unacceptable.
Still 40 million did not vote.
Right.
And they didn't vote because they said, well, we didn't like the choice of candidates, or we just don't think our vote counts.
But Matt, this is not a popularity contest. This is about policies. This is about standing for biblical principles.
Voting is the appointment of an agent for you. And pastors, please speak to your people this weekend through your various communication channels about the importance of voting biblical values, because voting is the appointing of an agent. That agent acts on your behalf. We're familiar with agency in various transactions, real estate or whatever it may be. You appoint an agent. They act on your behalf. You don't want to appoint a renegade agent that's going to just completely undermine you, speak against you. You want somebody who's going to represent you. You get an attorney to represent you. Well, when you're voting, you're giving an agent the power to represent you. And if you don't vote, you're giving somebody else the power to appoint an agent for you. And if that agent will not support and protect the sanctity of human life from the moment of conception, then that act will be imputed to you, the voter. We are stewards of the culture. We are salt and light. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. Pray for this country, vote, and pray for this case coming up before the Supreme Court.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.